and welcome to Chatbiz. We are a new business site that is set up to help small businesses with up-and-coming subjects. Today's subjects are going to be social media, how you start and what it means to you, the new government workplace pension scheme, which comes into force on the 1st of October 2012, and also the new minimum wage rates. My name is Karen Sanders, and with me I have
Linda Duffin
and
Simon Sanders.
Should we tell everybody who we all are first?
You start.
All right, I'll start. My name's Linda Duffin, as Karen said, or I think I said, and I'm a journalist and broadcaster of more than 30 years' experience. I've done pretty much everything in my time. I've worked in newspapers, radio, television, local, national, international. I've worked as a war correspondent, and most recently I've worked as a business presenter for the BBC World Service. So I've got a pretty broad spectrum of experience, and hopefully I'll be able to bring that to bear with this new project where I'm acting as a consultant, I suppose. Well, that's me. What about you?
Karen Sanders. I have the Stackyard Nursery in Mendlesham, Suffolk, which is a specialist tree nursery and a design studio. My background is I come from working in banking in the city and also with, I hate to say this, the Royal Bank of Scotland. So you can all shout at your radios now. Simon?
Yes, I'm Simon Sanders, husband of Karen, for my sins, and I run a business communications company called Creed Media. We specialise in technical documentation primarily. That's where I sort of come from. However, we also do animations, video and photography. This is a new venture for us to help communicate with small businesses.
And we all run small businesses, all three of us, so we know where everybody's coming from, I suppose.
Exactly.
Precisely.
So, perhaps we should start by explaining what Chatbiz is going to do, Simon.
The idea is to raise the profile of small businesses. We felt that small businesses don't really have a chance on the national stage of press to get their message across. And we are members of the Federation of Small Businesses. We're very supportive of them and the Chamber of Commerce. And they struggle quite a lot to get their message out there. So we thought that this would be an ideal venue for them. You can also get other businesses in just to talk about their own businesses, and we can hopefully learn some lessons from them.
And I think we should say perhaps as well that people, this is supposed to be pretty much an interactive site,
indeed,
really, and people can put their own questions. You know, if you've got a small business and there's a burning issue that's bothering you, or a problem that you've got, or just a question that you want answered, then you can drop us a line on the website, which we'll give you details of later, and we'll try and answer it. And if we can't, then we'll try and get a man who can.
Or a woman.
Or a woman.
Very much so. I think one of the things that we do want to be is customer-led as far as the questions. You know, when I've been to the Federation of Small Business meetings, it's very interesting the issues that do get brought to those meetings. Things that I would never have realised were issues because it's not my line of business. But I've learned a lot from the way that they've been dealt with. We are very lucky in the Federation of Small Businesses. We have a particularly active regional chair in Chris Sewell, who will pursue to the nth degree an answer for us. And the chamber, they have got very active people. So you might think that, it's three businesses here that aren't relevant to your business. But the background behind us, as a lot of members who might be able to just answer the questions.
And not only that, you might be a member of these organisations or you might not, but you might not be able to get to the meetings and listen to those sort of things. So this is a forum in which the people can actually get some of those questions answered. And maybe questions that they, like you say, they didn't know they needed answering, but are very, very relevant, like a couple of the issues we're going to be talking about later, the pensions and the minimum wage issues.
So one of the things that we thought that we'd start with is social media.
Yes, this is something that most people seem to struggle with.
That was the fourth member of the team. That was Poppy the dog. He wants to come in. We'll just let her in. Hello, Poppy. Right. Sorry, Simon. Go on.
Yes, social media. It seems to be something that people struggle with. Just the term social media seems to confuse people. And all the various options that they have from Facebook right the way through to Twitter, etc., which are two commonly known ones. Blogging is another big issue that people have been doing. But they're not quite sure how it all ties together unless they've been doing it themselves for several years.
And how advantageous it can be to a business, of course.
That's right.
I mean, I work in a technical medium. I've been in broadcasting for most of my life, and I've lost track of the number of new editing systems I've learned, new programming systems I've learned. And, you know, young people seem to absorb this sort of stuff with their mother's milk. But I think people my age, and I'm in my 50s, find it a bit more difficult and sometimes a bit intimidating. And I have to say, I mean, I've lagged behind, you know, coming from the broadcast media, I've lagged behind in actually getting to grips with this. So you can learn with me, folks, you know, because I have got a Twitter account, I've got a Facebook account, I've got a LinkedIn account and all the rest. But I don't use them perhaps as much as I could do, and I certainly don't use them as much as I could do to promote my business.
I think one of the problems is we tend to try and dip our toe in the water, those of us who want to have a go, and we soon run out of time for it.
But it doesn't take that long if you kind of build it into your schedule, actually.
Yes.
As I'm learning.
Yes, that's
but
so true.
You know, Karen's gone very quiet here, and actually she's the one of the three of us who is actually best at this. So what do you use, and how do you use it in terms of social media?
Predominantly, when I first started it, again, like everybody else, you know, I can get my way around all computer systems, not a problem. And then I got, my first one I got was Facebook. And I have a daughter who's now 28, so proves I'm in my 50s, and she was very much that you have to have a personal Facebook account and you have to have a Stackyard Nursery Facebook account. And I would occasionally put things on the wrong Facebook account, so now I actually have only got account Sanders account, because trying to run two Facebook accounts, and what I put on there is what I'm doing at the nursery. You know, last week I put 5 million nematodes through our irrigation system. These are tiny, tiny little parasitic creatures which kill vine weevil, which are at the present moment laying their eggs. So, you know, I put that up on Twitter, and it was, sorry, on Facebook, and it was quite interesting, sort of some of the replies, but not a lot. But I put it on Twitter. Now, on Twitter, I have got a huge amount of other garden designers. I've got a lot of other nurseries on, etc. So we ended up having a discussion about where did I get them from, how many was I using per litre, were they going through the irrigation system, other people feeding in saying, oh, I've tried it through the irrigation system and I just ended up having to wash filters. And we got quite a lot of information from lots of other people, which I would never normally associate with. I would never have known how to contact these people unless you go to a conference or a seminar. And what I find is you touch people that a normal life you would never have got near. You know, James Alexander Sinclair, the man in the hat, one of Britain's top garden designers, one of the top garden journalists, phenomenal guy. You tweet something, and he is a proactive Twitterer. And you suddenly get a reply from him, and you think to yourself, oh, you know.
It's astonishing, isn't it? Because, I mean, in the old days, you might have written to somebody like that and, you know, longhand with your fountain pen, and or, you know, or even sent them an email, but if assuming you knew their email address or their address. But this is instant,
it
virtually,
is.
Isn't it?
It is.
And people are much friendlier than you actually give them credit for. And I find, you know, the social media community is very generous, and I think that's something to point out maybe to people who are new to it. You know, don't be worried if you go on and go, this is my first tweet and I'm a bit nervous, because people are very generous and they're very forgiving, you know, initially at least. You know, there are all things that you don't do though, aren't there, on social media sites?
Definitely.
Things which are bad form, you know.
Yes, yeah, so we've got what we call it is the communities do have rules, but obviously they're not written down. And they are, be honest. Whatever you're writing, be honest about it.
Because you will get caught out if you tell fibs.
Yes. Unfortunately, and you may have heard this sort of, you know, Radio 4 did a broadcast last week about people who were buying followers. and then spamming. Well, if you do that, you're just going to end up with trouble.
We should maybe explain what spam is.
A spam is where you send a message which has got a link embedded into it to everybody that's on the Twitter account. They then go on to links, and it can be a few things. I mean, there's some really nasty ones out there, and you could, without realizing, you can be downloading viruses to your computer, etc. So the one thing I will say is, you might go to the pub and you might talk to a few people, but you wouldn't want to invite them all in your house. Exactly the same with all social media. You might have lots of people speaking to you, but you don't necessarily want to invite them to be your friends. And that is where I think you have to be quite judicious. Both Facebook and Twitter give you the facility to block, which I have used. I mean, when I first set up my Twitter account, I had, you know, Deirdre from Belgravia, who was wanting to help me with my little problems. And we got quite a lot of the porn actually hit at the very beginning. Twitter were very, very quick onto it. I blocked these access to the site, but Twitter have cleaned it up, and I've not had that for months.
I've never had that problem actually with Twitter. I mean, obviously there are downsides to this social media thing, but as long as you use a bit of common sense,
that's right. Yeah.
You know, I think they can be enormously helpful. I mean, how do you think it's helped your business? I mean, you talked about getting free advice from incredibly famous people and experts.
Right. That seems to be our first lesson to hear from this: the fact that it's not just a case of selling to people.
And you know, that really annoys me. There are certain people that I know personally, and the way they use Twitter is to advertise their next best case that they're doing, or, you know, they are advertising the talk that they're doing. Most of my wheelchair are business consultants. But they don't interact at any other time.
So it's perfectly valid to say, I'm going off to do X, Y. I mean, I tweeted morning that I was coming to record this session, you know, exciting new project, etc., etc. It's perfectly valid to do that, but perhaps not to do it, you know, to the exception of everything else, you know. And people want a bit of your personality coming through.
They definitely want some of your personality. They also, you know, if you say that you've got, and it might be, you know, it might be that you're at the present moment when they're going into the bare root tree season. So it's a case of, you know, if somebody wants to put up that they have special offers, that's fine. But people don't want to only hear that. They want to know, where do you grow them? How do you grow them? You get questions asked on, you know, how do you prune? You know, that type of thing. And you can share your knowledge.
That's important, I think, to remember with Twitter in particular, is that it's an interactive thing. You don't just go on there and spout off. People react to you and you respond to them, and it's very bad form not to respond to them, because essentially it's a conversation that you're having with people, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's different ways to respond. There is responding by doing an open reply. So you hit the reply key, you've got 140 characters. It does teach you to be succinct. And you can do that reply, and anybody who's either their follower or your follower, then they can read that message, not a problem. You can also have direct message.
DM.
And the other day, there was a lady was wanting to recruit a new assistant, and I did what's called retweeting. And you'll see the word retweet on the message. And I retweeted that message so that everybody that follows me could then see that she was looking for somebody, but she requested that the people would direct message her. So that is private. Nobody else sees that.
Up to a point. I think that's something you have to remember with Twitter and all of the social media sites. Don't put anything on there that you wouldn't want to have repeated, because it might be private and it might be direct message, but it's never entirely private. You're not sitting in a room having a conversation with somebody in that sense. So you do have to be a little bit judicious about what you say.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put anything on any of these sites that I would be ashamed of rereading later.
Especially
in the national newspaper.
Yeah.
So if it wouldn't come to that. But and that's another thing, isn't it? The jargon. I mean,
it
I think
is.
People find that intimidating, you know. So we've talked about RT, retweet. We've talked about DM, direct message. People get very confused by the term hashtags, don't they? Simon, can you explain what that is, maybe?
Well, Karen has done a lot more of the hashtagging than myself, but basically what a hashtag is, it is the symbol hashtag that you place before, immediately before, the word you want to highlight in your document, which then links directly to other words in Twitter, or other people who are using that word within Twitter, that hashtag word. And then they can do a search on it. So an example of where that would be well used would be, say, for instance, if you're running a course and you name this course something very specific with the hashtag in front of it, and then people who wish to retweet it, they would use that same hashtag word. And then perhaps as they're working through the course, they could then tweet their views about various parts of it, and they would again embed that same hashtag word within it. So somebody could then, who's say invigilating the course or out with the course, could then find all the information about that particular
hashtag label.
Immediately.
It's a good way too of finding specific subjects, isn't it? I mean, sometimes you might have to put in variations on the theme, but if you're doing a search and, you know, say in your case, you know, you're looking for nurseries or trees, or Simon's case, you're looking for technological issues, and in my case, maybe, you know, journalistic issues, you can put in, they don't always have to have a hashtag, but I mean, can put in subject matter, and that's quite a good way of finding people to follow. Mm-hmm. Because you follow people and you have followers, and you know you can get a critical mass going. I mean, I don't have a huge number of followers because I don't tweet as often as I should do, but that's going to change, of course. Karen, on the other hand, you probably have hundreds of followers, don't you?
Yeah, about 500 at the moment,
which is pretty good going. Not as good as Stephen Fry, but you know.
No, who is a prolific Twitterer, but it's, you know. I actually use an Android mobile, and I can tweet from that. So it's little things, you know. You see a photograph, you're walking, and one of the things that I had was there was masses and masses of ladybirds just sitting on this corner on the fence, and it was just absolutely beautiful. Took the photograph, sent it out. And the amount of people who said it made their day, it made them smile. You know, if you think that, just because you've done that little tweet, it can do that, you know. And I would say, I don't want to know that you're going for your third cup of mint tea today.
No, you know, me neither.
I want to know, it could be, you know, last week I was at a workshop down in Kent, Palmstead Nurseries. I put the at Palmstead Nurseries on. They've picked me up. Lots of people who were on that course have also done feedback. So I can then go on at Palmstead Nurseries. And when I put that in and click on their page, I can see everybody who's actually used that at sign, which they've all interacted with Palmstead Nurseries.
Or you could, or if they've done the hashtag, it'd be a similar thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, we did Palmstead Workshop, Palmstead Workshop. So everybody who's used that tag, you just click on it, do a search, and you will see everybody that's made comments on that workshop.
Yeah.
You know, which is quite nice because there were some people there who possibly didn't know that there was a tree nursery not far away from them in Suffolk. Mm. You know, and I've had comments of, oh, I didn't know you were there.
Yeah.
Because,
which is great for your business, because I mean, it's
fantastic.
Another way of advertising your business effectively and getting it out to people. And not only that, people who are your target audience, because they're people you already know are interested in that particular subject, in what it is that you do. And that's the nice thing about, if you start following people, I mean, just, you know, you might want to follow a film star or a news organisation or something very specific to your business. And if you start messaging these people with, you know, an interesting message as opposed to, you know, hello, I'm Fred and I think you're lovely, then they'll respond to you and they might start following you. And that's how you start to build that mass, isn't it, really?
Indeed, yes.
And in areas which are relevant to your business. If that's what you want to use it for, you might put a personal Twitter account and you might just want to follow Stephen Fry. Yeah. Good old Steve.
So do we think
treasure?
Do we think that Twittering is a good place for somebody new to start?
It's quite easy, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Even I find it easy. And once you get past these sort of, you know, and there is a guide actually on the Twitter site which talks you through the basics, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take very long to read, and it's quite helpful.
Yeah.
And as I said, people are pretty forgiving.
Yeah.
You know, there are these things called Follow Fridays. You can explain that, can't you?
If you have people that you follow who are particularly interesting, on a Friday, you put hashtag FF, and then you put the people. So I would put @ Linda Duffin, and then people would see, they'd go on, they'd read, or they can read the last 4 or 5 tweets that you've done, and they can say, oh yeah, she is interesting to follow, or they may choose, you know, not to. But it gives an extra bit of promotion. Mm. Now, if somebody likes you, I often have get included on the Follow Fridays, which is quite nice. And it'll be comments like informative and funny. Because I think one of the things that, you know, comedy is one of the things that gets you out there.
Mm.
And
it's the wit in Twitter.
It's the wit, very much.
Very
and
good.
There are a lot of... I follow quite a lot of journalists, as you know. And at present minute, you know, there's a political war correspondent who is sitting in Beirut, and he writes some of the photographs, you know, it's of the minute issues which are happening, but he's also funny.
Mm.
He will also tell you that, you know, he tried to get in somewhere and he couldn't get in, and he'll tell you the reason why, and it will make you laugh. It'd be something because he had the wrong colour shirt on or whatever. And that's the type of thing, you can get some really informative information. You can also have some, and I wouldn't have picked him up normally because I would never have known about him except for it was a Follow Friday of a different BBC journalist, and I thought, I wonder who he is, and I clicked on it and read, and then I chose to follow. So Follow Friday is quite a good thing. If you think people are worth following, stick it on a Follow Friday.
Are there any other lists
like that? #ww is Wordless Wednesday, whereas you actually don't say anything, but you put a link to a photograph or you put a link to another site. That's quite positive, and a huge amount of people use it to let you know they've got a blog that's gone live.
And how do you put photos and links up?
There are about 10 or 12 standard applications, which are everything from Flickr to Instagram, that you just download the app to your phone, or you take a photograph with a standard camera and you add it via the USB on your computer, and you pick up the file and the software converts for you. So don't worry about that. Equally, if you want to put a website address in, if you copy and paste it out of the browser button into Twitter, you know how sometimes these can be 70, 80, 90, 100 characters.
Miles and miles long. It automatically...
It cuts it right the way down to the minimum amount of characters.
So you don't use up too many characters.
So you don't need to use something like Tiny URL.
No.
Tiny URL or anything like that.
No, it picks that up.
There's a website that does that, but
it
does it automatically.
It does that for you. I mean, you know, and there are continual, at the present moment, updates, and they are progressing it so quickly. That you can link in, you know, with Twitter. But you can also do that with Facebook. The one thing I would say... Sorry.
I was just going to say, so when it comes to your Twitter account for a business, have you found any difference to running your own personal Twitter account to a business account?
I have, as I said, I used to have 2 Facebook accounts, and I only run the personal one. Because I don't put things like, you know, to my daughter, are you coming home for tea tonight? That's not what people use it for. I use it for finding out, you know, does anybody know how to help this? But I give enough of my personality to the account, I think.
Yes, but I think there is a distinct difference within Facebook for personal accounts and business accounts. They are 2 separate things, whereas in Twitter, I think
it crosses.
The one
Yeah.
The one where you go in.
Yeah.
What about other social media sites? We should just maybe cover some of those briefly, like LinkedIn. A lot of people use LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like Facebook, but for business.
Yes, very much. Very professional. I would say LinkedIn is for professional contacts.
Mm.
Very much where you worked in the past, universities, etc., anywhere you went, and you have those links that you keep in with LinkedIn. I don't see anybody putting personal information up.
No, I don't think so, except business information.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people do put, you know, what their new job is, where they're going. That was Poppy shaking herself, if you heard that strange noise, as opposed to one of us flapping our jowls. And, I have heard, and I don't know if this is, you know, sort of PR for LinkedIn, that a lot of people do look at LinkedIn now as a means of checking out your profile.
Yes.
So it is possibly, I think maybe for people who are looking for a new job, not a bad thing to do, because you've kind of got your CV up there, photograph,
yeah,
and you can sort of big yourself up and talk about what your business is. So quite useful in that respect. Not sure I would go for the advanced membership, which costs money as opposed to not costing you. The basic membership costs
you
nothing.
There's an awful lot you can do for free.
There is a lot you can do for free. And we should say that none of these things cost money.
No.
It doesn't cost you anything to have a Facebook account, a Twitter account, LinkedIn account,
no,
and none of these.
No.
Okay, so maybe in the time we've got left, we should be thinking about moving on to the other subjects,
yeah,
unless you think there's something else we haven't covered.
No, well, we've put some notes together on it, haven't we?
Yeah, so, which we'll have on the website on a link for you, so you can download them and see whether they're going to help you.
Yeah. And if anybody has any thoughts that they'd like to feedback to us, we can always cover them in a future issue.
Absolutely, absolutely. Any further questions?
Yeah,
let us know.
Indeed, we'll try and
answer them.
Because, you know, we have only just briefly touched upon social media here, because encompassing social media these days is obviously things like YouTube, which is very, very popular with a lot of people and organisations.
Absolutely. Flickr, which we mentioned briefly,
indeed,
where you can put photographs
that's
up.
Right.
And I suppose also
Pinterest, that's another big one these days. So
yeah,
it's something to come back to at another stage. But as a brief introduction, certainly I think
the two
main ones to think about are,
yeah,
you know,
well, Facebook claim that they have 955 million monthly users actually active at the end
of
June.
That's phenomenal, isn't it?
And Twitter claims to have 140 million active users and 340 million tweets per day.
That's astonishing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But also a lesson as to how to, you know, remember to target your message.
Yes,
yeah, very much.
Because otherwise it's just going to get
lost out
there.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's the thing.
So one of the things I would like to bring to attention is that the government have got two new issues that came out on the 1st of October. First one being there is a compulsory pension scheme being set up, which if you have more than 150,000 employees, which the supermarkets of this country do, they have already gone over to it from yesterday. And one of the things that I think people don't realise is you've got no option as far as being registered onto the scheme. You still have to, even if you don't want to pay into it, you still have to register into the scheme to opt out, which for a small business like me, you know, okay, under 30 employees doesn't come into effect until June 2015, but that's only 2 years ago, 2 years away. And it's going to be implemented over 2 years for the smaller people, and it will depend upon your PAYE code. The two numbers at the end of that will say when you are going to be the ones to be have to implement the scheme, which means for me as a small employer, I have to pay for a scheme to be set up so everybody, if they want to, can opt out.
It's crazy, isn't it?
That,
well, it appears to be crazy. I mean, I don't know the thinking behind this on the government's part, but it's just one more potentially unnecessary expense for a small business. Yeah.
Yeah,
but something, you're right, people really ought to be aware of, because it's not far off.
And
that applies to even people who are self-employed, doesn't it?
Self-employed as well.
So it doesn't matter whether you're a window cleaner, running a nursery, you know, people like me, I've got a limited company and I'm it, you know, or whether you've got half a dozen people working for you or 150.
Well, the numbers are that from over 250 employees, they are starting to roll it out from October 2012 to February 2014. If you employ between 50 and 249, now that's really medium-sized companies, then that's April 2014 to the following April. And then it goes down. If you're 40 to 49, it's August 2015. If you're 30 to 39, it's October 2015. And fewer than 30 employers, so that's, you know, one or two people, then you start in June 2015, and it's a run-on for 2 years. And the place you can get the information is actually from the government's YouGov site.
We'll put a link on for that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, to make life easier. But I think it's just, I hadn't realised that you actually had to register to opt out. And I think that's the key thing. One of the issues that might come from this is they were stating on Radio 4 again yesterday, fantastic channel, that if you are a pensioner, when it comes to your pension at the present moment, the state pension is not means tested. This will be means testable against your state pension. So if you are going to be a person who's only going to survive on your state pension, you could be paying into this and not actually benefit from it. So that's one of the things that I would like to investigate a little bit further and possibly put up a link for anybody that wants to look at that. And if somebody is out there and they say, she's got that wrong, will you please let me know so we can share exactly how it's going
to
work?
Maybe we should try and get somebody who's a pensions expert onto the next programme to talk about
that
it. Because it's pretty important, isn't it?
That'd be great, yes.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah. And one other thing, I think, which is relevant, which you wanted to mention, Karen, to do with the new minimum wage.
Yeah, from the 1st of October 2012, the new minimum wage comes into effect. It hasn't changed for those who are up to the age of 17. So if you have a child, or a young person, sorry, up to the age of 17, that hasn't changed. But if you have 18 to 20-year-olds, that has gone up to £4.98 per hour. And if you have over 21s, it has gone up to £6.19 an hour. Now this, if you have got agricultural workers, that is a completely different pay grade, and no doubt through the NFU you know those rates. But this is for anybody who employs staff. The rates have changed, and just to be aware of it, because the last thing you want is to not be paying the correct rate and have to possibly let them go, and it is one of those things they could take you to the tribunal over.
So be warned.
Words of warning. Should we give people the website address? That might be quite a good thing to do, so they can actually check out all this information.
Yes, I mean, it's very simple. It's www.chatbiz.org.
www.chatbiz.org.
Yeah.
Okay. And personal contacts, if anybody wants to get in touch with us, or
my
Twitter
account. Yeah, my Twitter account for me, which is Stackyard Nursery.
At Stackyard Nursery. I'm at Linda Duffin.
And probably the easiest way to get in contact with myself would be through the ChatBiz website. I'll be the main focal point for that, for handling all inquiries, etc. So it's Simon@chatbiz.org.
Thank you for listening, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.